Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everyday Business Show. And this special series is with David and the team at WebNexus. And the series is called The WebNexus Effect. Now, if you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, I encourage you to reach out, like, comment, subscribe. As each of these shows, we love to hear your feedback. And if you're wondering where you can catch the replays of the live shows, you can catch them on Binge Networks USA, Hero Go. The Tony TV channel is also available on Roku, LG, Samsung, on smart TVs worldwide. And also launching on Everyday Women's Network will be catch-ups of these shows. Now, continuing on in this series, and before I reintroduce you to David, who is the CEO of WebNexus, we need to do a little introduction to country. Now, this is part of an international movement that acknowledges the special and important role our Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So today, I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast and where we meet. And I want to pay my respects to the elders past and present, and those beautiful Aboriginal and Torres Strait peoples listening here today. Now, as you know, this is a series called the WebNexus Effect, and each week I get to chat to the CEO of WebNexus, David Bright Livingston. And following on from each show, we talk about another element of the services this amazing company and team deliver for businesses globally. But before I introduce you to David personally, just a reminder that David has extensive e-commerce experience in both B2B retail grocery industries, and he also has extensive experience in architecture around video on demand, OTT, and live streaming. And David includes clients from across the US, UK, Australia, Singapore, Africa, Oman, Paris, etc. As you'll look at these shows, just a reminder that you can reach out and chat to David anytime you're interested about any of the solutions that we talk about, and his contact details are attached to wherever you're watching this interview. Now, David, we've been chatting about lots of things tech, and as you know, I am not particularly a tech person. I am definitely not a digital architecture specialist. However, I'm enjoying this journey as we talk about different elements of your business and what you do, and this week's no different. This week, we want to talk about the WebNexus solution called eCart, and I want to know what it is that caused you to further develop this solution for your clients. So what is eCart, David?
Okay, thanks, Tony, for the great introduction. And as usual, you're so, I love doing this show with you, and it's so comfortable. And you are so lovely and giving me a lot of opportunity to tell what we have been doing in WebNexus. And amazing to have a lovely host as you are. I mean, you are just a great host for us. Like, you're doing a lot of great questions, brainstorming a lot of things with me on this show to help people get whatever they wanted on from this.
Because, David, I don't think, so from my perspective, you have, and I'm, just for clarity, I'm married to a computer engineer, a programmer, a developer. And so actually having the latitude to talk to you in everyday speak in ways that I can understand and that we can help the audience understand about the products that you've developed and that you deliver, and knowing firsthand how your team interacts with clients, that makes asking questions a lot easier. And I must confess that there's times when I go to my husband and go, okay, I want to talk about this week. Can you give me the everyday version of that? And he does, but I still learn more every time I talk to you, David. So it is an absolute pleasure. And so I want to get back to talking about this e-cart solution that WebNexus delivers for its clients. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Nah, thank you so much for that. And WCart is about the e-commerce is about, that's the name that we have given for e-commerce solution that we built, because every child has to have its name, and we have given that child a name called WCart.
That's so easy.
Yeah, that's some a cart from WebNexus, so it is W in front and it's cart, so WCart. WCart is built on the upcoming technology, which is Node.js technology. Node.js, and the front end is all on Angular.js and the React.js and Express.js. We have components, different components. Just further dive, going one step ahead, and if I want to put the exact word on that, so what we have done in WCart is we have not given that as a traditional e-commerce system. Like on the front, it would be like looking like in traditional e-commerce, very simple, very plain design.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. But the back end of any big ecosystem or the architecture would be something like, very, should be very strong. So that is where most of our efforts have been put into. So for now, like what I have put here is like, what we have put here is like we have put in a lot of efforts to build in the back end architecture of that particular e-commerce infrastructure.
Yes.
So back end strengthening means, like for common man, if I wanted to say, again, let me go to constructing a house.
Yes.
So when you construct your own house, the depth of digging the earth.
Yes.
Would mean, like if you are digging the earth to 2 feet, it would be the house would be stronger by 2 feet. If you are going to go 4 feet deep, it will be like you can build one more floor on the house.
Yes.
And if it is going to be 8 feet deep, you can build 3 or 4 floors on the houses to your house. So similarly, on an e-commerce infrastructure, so you have, I mean, as somebody who is looking to start an e-commerce system.
Yes.
We need to understand, like, what is the depth of the backend infrastructure, backend architecture that we this particular software has got,
mm-hmm.
and is this scalable? Is this like on a futuristic technology? And is so putting plainly that when you think about scalability, you have to be on a microservice. Microservice
yes.
is a terminology that I would say to plug and play anything that you wanted. So it is an architecture where you put something on a microservice level in the sense, like as the term it says, microservices. So you can, every service is a service by itself. Like for example, when you take the backend,
mm-hmm.
you can separate the backend. Tomorrow,
yes.
if you wanted to integrate a new front end to the system, you can integrate it with very much easier than the traditional system. Or if you say, like, David, I like your front end and I want to pull my own back end, okay, that's
yes.
perfectly fine. You can plug in any back end you want. Or you can say, like, I want to plug in this particular infrastructure into your system. This menu has to be coming into the system, but I have this in this particular company. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to pull that from that company, and still they will be my service provider for that. And your software should be capable of doing that. Yes, definitely. That can be handling that as well. So you don't have to be worrying about like how you have to be orchestrating your infrastructure. So you
yes.
can orchestrate your infrastructure as the way that you wanted. And by the way, by that, what I would mean is any software globally would be able to get connected into the software, and you can vertically and horizontally scale up. Vertically in the sense, you can stack up so many layers of so many products into the software,
yes,
so
yes.
many layers of products. Horizontally in the sense, you can build in a lot of features to the product. So if you want to have a lot of features, like for example, we are now trying to work on hyperlocal enablement for the system. So hyperlocal is something which I'm meaning by horizontal, and there we have proposed around a lot of, I mean, around 24 things for this quarter. So this upcoming, like this quarter has to be, we
yeah.
have to roll out this quarter on all these software. So, which is on the pipeline. So all these 24 features has to be done. So,
yes.
so these 24 can be easily plugged in when you go in a native environment.
Yes.
This is not possible. Like, and that would take a heavy toll on your server resources as well. This one, so when you wanted to launch your ecosystem infrastructure in 8 GB, our solution can do that in with 8 GB thing, or 4 GB hardware as well. But when you want an e-commerce, when you go with different vendors, like which is running on PHPs, especially PHPs,
yes.
Many are running today on PHPs, and we have broken that wall out, and we are not on PHPs because PHPs is good. Like most of the world is on PHP, but
yes,
we have taken a way out of that, because what we felt in PHP is like the loading time in PHP can be optimized, but again, it is higher hand when compared to the JavaScripts.
And
so the loading time, the microservices component, and the element of scalability, this JavaScript is giving flexibility, and AngularJS, ReactJS are booming very faster, and Node.js is giving the flexibility. It doesn't take a load on the server at all. It is very, very light on the server side. So
that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so good.
Because it makes it faster.
Yes, so you can literally run 100,000 products, more than 100,000 customers. So without any further upgrade, that's something possible. And with Node.js, I have tested with the software which we have created over 5 million customer records. And each of the 5 million customers would have around at least every month, these 5 million records would be added as order. So they donate to an organization. At least you can say like not 5 million. You can say like 3 million people would be donating to that organization.
Yeah.
And we manage that infrastructure in the database. And you can see like every month, 3 million databases records are getting inserted in the database and how it has to be that orchestrated. So this infrastructure can be easily able to get that one. And you can search into that 3 million records in a matter of less than two seconds. You just type a name, dot up fetches the thing. So it's a matter of speed. Of that's what I believe, like e-commerce, because e-commerce people are just e-commerce is so evolving, and people have to be like and today morning I read in a newspaper e-commerce is going to grow for the next 5 years. The estimate for the next 5 years is 30% year on year.
So that means globally, David, that if you are thinking of selling anything, you effectively need to consider a really good e-commerce platform that delivers everything that you need. So that starts with a product and its image and its stock availability, and also needs to include things like order management, shipping, payments. Does it include things like marketing, sales reports, and analysis?
Yeah, definitely. Software has to have sales reports. Software has to have analysis of what is happening, what has happened. So it will give you an idea about what has happened this month, what is the performance that's happening, and moreover, like, you can integrate Google Analytics to the software, so that you can pull in you can get a lot of information from Google Analytics when you get that. Like you can see from where your customers are last week.
So you can actually see where in the globe those customers are coming from, how long they're staying on the site, if they're putting things into their cart and then not going to checkout, all of that your e-commerce platform can deliver.
Yes, so literally, like, this is how it happens. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is coming to your site, and when they are coming to an e-commerce platform, what does a customer have to do is, like, this is the science. Like, let me tell you something. So as a starter, like, we would think like I wanted to start an e-commerce site. That's well and good. Like,
yes.
You can put dollars in the ads, and then like that would translate into customers. That's also fine. Like the usual conversion rate would be like 2% to 5%, or maybe sometimes even 10% for the ads to convert. 2% can be a good number, but 10% for a brand which is like a very established and known. So 2% working on that number, it has to be also on a different verticals. Like, for example, if you're investing $1, on the ads, you have to be considering these options in the e-commerce software to start with. The first one is going to be how well your payment gateways are integrated. That is a basic.
Yes.
Secondly, not everybody who has added a product to their cart would buy at that in particular moment. So you need to send them an email follow-up saying like, hey man, hey, you have left your product in the cart. Would you like
Are you still interested?
Still interested. We are holding up the cart for you and you can come just... So it has to go to their mailbox. So that kind of capturing them back and reminding them and saying like, you have got this. Because this is a world of hyper connection and where...
Yes. I was just going to say, David, there's been times when I've gone and put something in a cart and then been called away for whatever reason and then got the email and they've actually said, well, here's a $20 discount or whatever it is, just to remind you, you've got something in the cart. And then you've gone, oh, wow, a discount. Let me go buy that thing.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. So that's the way of marketing as well, because you have spent money to take that customer into your cart.
Yes.
And if we cannot just leave them like that. So we need to get that converted a sale. So that would convert, like if you say, for example, if you're converting 1% of cart of a person in cart, which is who has abandoned, like if you and you might have hundreds of abandoned carts, so your sales value would go up and your way to making more profit would be also going up. So let's say like I'm just telling 1% is the lowest number. So 1% cart conversion rate, abandoned cart conversion rate is a different story. So you have already got 3%, and then people would have, and taking apart from this, like people would have come to your cart, a site, website, e-commerce, and they would have browsed a lot of pages. And now what comes into play is like display dynamic remarketing. So we call this dynamic display remarketing.
Yes.
Where the site will have some cookies stored. So you take that cookie is fetched by the remarketing agencies, companies. Target the same product wherever you go. Like for example, if you're seeing an iPhone, and if your iPhone is going, if you have seen just the iPhone, like if you have just seen the iPhone on Amazon,
yes,
and you have left the page for whatever reasons you have,
yes,
you might be busy in the day, or you would have been called by the boss, or you might be like traveling and maybe on the drive, and you have a coffee, you are seeing an iPhone and you have left that page and you've forgotten, like next day when you see in the morning, or maybe in the next hour, when you see when you're browsing on the next website, you will see an iPhone ad popping from the same company.
Yes.
They follow you. So that is very, way cheaper. Like that's way, way cheaper than the acquisition of somebody through a search market. When we capture this one as well, like when we capture this audience as well, like this is going to be way, way cheaper to acquire. And when you're going to brand them, when they are going to see you over and again and again and again. So the branding intensity goes deeper when people see you more than 10 times on average. So they are, it's obvious that they are going to buy the product from us.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes to work on an e-commerce ecosystem. So the spending has to be on the dynamic display remarketing as well. That's the third way.
Yes.
That's the third way. So that's the third way that we can consider how an e-commerce would be like going to acquire customers. And the second thing, the abandoned marketing, abandoned cart thing, that is the cheapest of everything, every marketing. So it's for every e-commerce owner, if they forget abandoned cart, they would lose at least 1 to 2% of the cart rate. So when you consider an e-commerce system, like...
it comes with all of those elements already built into it.
Yes. So we have to be thinking like, okay, oh my, I have put $10 and I have driven in 100 people to the system. So now there are only 2 people who have bought it, and out of 100, only 2. And what happened to the 98? Already they have seen me.
Yeah.
What did happen? So they have seen me. If they would have seen me another 10 times, so that is going to be, if they would have seen me another 9 times, I would have I can easily get branded into their mindset. So, and if you go reach them after for the next 9 times, you'd be the next, there is more likeliness that they would give their card to you. They will give their card to you and ask, Tony, please share my card, and you'll get the money. So this is how I believe like an e-commerce solution also works. It's common for all the platforms. And
next question, David. What makes WCart different from, say, Shopify, and why would clients choose WCart over Shopify?
Shopify, I would say this, Shopify is highly, it's a really a big company.
Yeah.
Great company. I would acknowledge the fact of that one. And but why WCart can be considered is like WCart is young, agile, and we are adding a lot of features.
To the
and agile, we add a lot of features. When you compare the features list, that I can say, like I can read out a lot of features which we are trying to compile into WCart. It's not to capture the market, but to help the customer. So whatever we acquire with, we want to see that we 100% help them by giving them the flexibility of making, because they pay us X amount of money, we get partnered with them.
Yes.
It's about, I mean, this is the mindset. So I'll say this is why we have why I think we would have an advantage.
Yeah.
So when you get money from somebody, like when they put on you, you invest on them, and you have to be in a responsible position to upbring them and reach the market, help them to reach the market, and then like push them out to make some money. So that's your responsibility as a person who, I mean, there are also companies who say like, we have given the software, now it's up to you. You use it or you don't use it. We are going away. Okay, this is what we have committed and we have delivered it. One step ahead. We want to see like the what your journey. We want to see like whether you have been using this. Where is the bottleneck you've got? Are you comfortable using that still? Or where do you want some improvements on the platform? And then this abandoned cart, hyperlocal marketplace, the multi vendor system, the all the other systems would be costing, and the POS, the point of sales. The point of POA system, the integrated desktop application, mobile application, all these would be costing extra in Shopify. But what we do here is like we give them
a bundle.
Bundle. And then like next thing is like next major important thing is like you cannot customize a Shopify website from the start.
Yes.
You can customize a front end. You can do customization on the front end, but you will never be able to customize whatever you wanted to the core that you wanted to do in a back end system. And of course you are limited by their architecture, but here like this is an open source. You have a Node.js infrastructure and the flexibility.
Yes, so you have you can build in the functionality unique to that particular client and what they need in their e-commerce solution. So, David, the other thing that you guys at WebNexus do is you facilitate migration from one solution to WCart as well.
So we facilitate migrations in terms of products. So you can easily migrate all your products from that platform here. You can migrate all your customers easily. We have done migrations as well in the past. So you can do database migrations. You can do data migrations. We cannot do password migration because passwords are encrypted. They're encrypted. If they could be migrated, then there's no encryption at all with that software. So we don't do that password migration. For the matter, it is encrypted by SHA-256 or something like that. So it's we tried once to do some decoding, and but I'm not sure whether we are positive on that. But our guys did tell me that we can use the same password, but I don't want to commit on that because it is like a password thing and the clients. And then your product orders, inventories, like coupons, all these can be migrated. The CMS pages are the toughest one to migrate because it would be tied up to their class names and other things. But then again, CMS can be imported here. We can try to match up the class names and other things. Class name, but the design name, designs, the design elements can be matched. To be matched up.
David, one of the other things that we were talking about before the show is that it has the capacity for things like taxation and commission, GST, a whole range of functionality that's actually built into WCart or can be built into WCart, including things like delivery and delivery tracking. Is that correct?
I'll give a just small example.
Yes.
So when as an e-commerce, like when we don't have taxation systems, we would be held by the government. If we don't have a logistics here, our resources, like as a business owner, our resources is be spent on giving them an information, which otherwise can be done through an API automated 24/7 run for you. So initially, like when you start a business, it is okay. But then when you go higher when you do at least 25, 30 orders a day, you cannot go chase every order. And then put the tracking information. So WCart is having we already have a tracking URL. When you ship it, we ship that, you can just input this tracking URL and users can automatically track their parcel or the good wherever they come that comes in. So
yeah.
And also one step ahead, where there is a system where we have facilitated to enable when your order is placed, you can just toggle your order to processed and to ready for pick. You can just say the status, change the status to ready to pick, and in the back that will be happening in the back end. And once you transition that to ready to pick status, so your order information would be sent to the shipping company, like for example, UPS or DHL, FedEx. So to those guys, it will be sent, the information will be sent to them, and they would come to your doorstep wherever your parcel is. They'll pick up that parcel and they will deliver to, and then the rest of the thing would be updated from their end to the customers through the platform. So the platform would be having the tracking URL, and then that can be updated to the users, and then from there it's kind of automation. So you would in eliminate the manual involvement in all of this.
I was just going to say, David, I've actually noticed over the last 6 months in particular, experiencing those automated text messages and emails from different companies about when your product's due is really, really helpful. So you'll get a text message that says your delivery, your such and such a package is on board for delivery today. So you actually know, oh, right, that'll, generally speaking, it comes on the day that the text message or the email. So some of them use email, some of them use text message. I noticed in some of the information you shared with me pre-show was there's also things like WhatsApp integration. How important is that in the e-commerce sphere?
There's a lot of things that we can use using WhatsApp with e-commerce. So right now you have got WhatsApp has got 1.3 billion people, I think. So
okay,
I might be wrong, but it's over a billion people using WhatsApp every day. So in that way, like when if you have a WhatsApp connected into your platform, this is a possibility.
Yes.
Customized request. This is a custom request that we can do for anyone. So if they wanted to have a platform with WhatsApp enablement, and the customer has to be ordering right from the WhatsApp as well. And your menu has to be shown to the customer on WhatsApp. This would be particularly useful for the grocery companies. The stores which is selling groceries would be much benefited by this. What does that mean? Help? How does that help? Is like you can send a message like, hi, this is from maybe we can say Walmart.
Yes.
So you have reached Walmart. What is the department that you want to check in and the products? What is the product that you want to check in? Maybe they can give you an option 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can, if you pick one that is going to be taking you to the grocery department. And in grocery department, they list you all the items. So this will be happening inside WhatsApp. So it would be sending you a push message one by one. So when the first message is going to be like, I have tomatoes, potatoes, cabbages, cauliflowers. So you can pick, and if you pick one, that would be listed to tomatoes. What is in tomato? How many kilograms you would need? They'll say one for 1 kilogram, 2 for half kilograms, 3 for two kilograms. So you can select. And then if you want to add to cart, you press one. And then you go back to the main menu of the vegetables. So you can just pick and pack like that. So instead of going to an e-commerce system, instead of going to an mobile app of the e-commerce, instead of doing anything, like you can just do a WhatsApp in next 5-7 minutes, and then you can place the order, and this WhatsApp order would be sent to the e-commerce platform.
Wow.
So the admin would be the admin would be notified that this customer
WhatsApp order has been placed.
WhatsApp order has been placed, And right now, the UPI has been the payment system has also been facilitated in WhatsApp. So the like GPay, the Google Pay is there. So like the Google Pay, we have also got WhatsApp Pay, I believe. So yeah. You can integrate WhatsApp Pay. You can push the message to the customer and say like you can pay through your WhatsApp as well right now. So customer can just send the money through
WhatsApp.
Amazing. So that's all something feasible and possible in e-commerce. The only thing is, you need to have an idea about WhatsApp. How does that can work for you?
And yeah.
WhatsApp is not just a communication tool; it's also a business tool, right?
I didn't know that. That's okay. Because people keep saying to me, "You should be on WhatsApp," and I'm like, "Oh no, not another platform." Now I'm starting to go, okay, righto. So it's not just a messaging. WhatsApp's just not a messaging. Understanding that it has a powerful capacity for e-commerce as well makes it very interesting, doesn't it?
And then what you can do is like you get the order, you get that order placed into your dashboard. So the admin is notified. The admin is notified in one single place. You don't have to be on WhatsApp as an admin. You don't see a multiple platform to be getting customers' order. On your order, just come back to your admin panel.
Amazing.
That's a possibility, which can be done in e-commerce as well. And moreover, when you do all these things, like it's very easy to do all these things in a platform like NodeW Card, which is Node.js driven thing. And that's where I see the potential. And when you want to integrate a different payment gateway for Africa, for US, if you say like Stripe, already have got Stripe inside that.
Yes.
We already have got PayPal in that. So it is like when we think of adding a feature to that one, hardly we take 3 weeks to 4 weeks to do a new feature. Or maybe like sometime if it is complicated, we might take a couple of weeks extra. But
generally speaking, you can... customize it in any way, shape, or form. David, I've got a question around e-commerce and app development. So you've got your online shop, you've got your e-commerce platform. Do you then need an app that goes with that? Or does that happen as part of the broader solution?
Yeah, that's part of a broader solution. That's how we suggest as well, because when you have your own app for your e-commerce platform, what happens is you would definitely be on multiple devices. Again, the multiple device story kicks in. So wherever the customers are, like for example in the United States, you would see a lot of iPhone users in the West Coast and the Android users in the East Coast. So the device concentration. So if you wanted to be reaching out to people in the West Coast, you should be better on the iOS devices. A lot of your system should be on the iOS devices in the West Coast. And that's a statistic which I saw like a couple of years back. I'll put a disclaimer there. So.
Yes.
So these devices has to be reached, and people like people have to be like omnipresent in all the devices. So it's not about promoting an Android app or iOS app, but then we are on different devices and resolutions. And then application doesn't take too much to load. That's the benefit of having an application. Your website can take a lot of time to load, but an application doesn't take a lot of time.
It's super quick.
Only for that matters. When people are browsing an application, so they tend to, instead of we might ourselves would have done a lot of our purchases through a mobile app, not on a computer screen. So that we might have not put a lot of emphasis to that to think about it. But when our orders might have flown a lot of times from the mobile app, so we would have seen something in our bed, and like when we are in our bed, like we would have done some couple of orders. That would not happen if Amazon would not be on the mobile screens. Then we would not be able to Amazon would not be able to capture that audience at that particular time. Nobody was going to go back to their computer and then turn it on and take the order and push that. I would recommend having a mobile app is a part of.
Good e-commerce. David, I'm curious too, in thinking about business in general and not just specifically e-commerce, How important is the consideration of having a business app? So you've got a company and, you know, lots of people have apps. Why should a business consider building their own app?
Even yesterday, day before yesterday, there was a whiskey investment company, like investment company, which is like they get investments from people to invest on the whiskey casks. So they are from Spain. So that's a whole long term customer for us, client for us. So we've been working with them for like 3-4 years now. So what they do is like they came up with an idea of putting in mobile app for an event this week in Singapore. So they have an event in the Singapore this weekend. So they want to have a mobile application in iOS, so the iPhone platform, the Apple platform.
Yeah.
So the reason is like you can have your app preloaded, like when you show an app to the people, they can again, it is about the fast, that is for the branding.
Yes.
It's about like how fast this it can load, and you can show a lot of information to the people on one go. So it is like it's like wherever you go, if you have your app preloaded in your device, be it like internet or you don't have internet, you don't have to be worrying. If you have an offline data fetched from the application for businesses, so you don't have to be worrying about like all these data which is there in online. And then moreover, like when businesses should be agile as well, when somebody's asking you to send some information, when you are on a website and you say like go and see my website, that wouldn't work as well. Like when you are on a mobile, and for example, if you say this, I'm not referring to the website part of it, I'm just referring to some other systems, like for example CRM, for example invoicing, all these backend systems, business has to be on a mobile.
Yeah.
So when you have an order from your e-commerce platform, when you are on a mobile, so you if you are able to open that at any point when you are driving, maybe you
have
2 minutes. Have 2 minutes, and that 2 minutes, if your backend system is as an application to you, if you have that application as a backend infrastructure to you, you would definitely win the game, because right now it is people would want response in less than 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why I see as a business owner, somebody has to be, anyone has to be on a mobile device, and they have to be quick, faster. And then this mobile thing is like, except from working, like even now, like most of the work is going to the mobiles, except the IT guys. So otherwise, like everybody is now working on a mobile. So all the business people, all the people, day before yesterday, that I was in New Delhi meeting up Public Limited Company's CEO, and they had a very huge order, like that's 300 crores. It should be like $30 million, more than 30, and that's $300 million, I believe, in US dollars. They acquired some plant, steel plant in the New Delhi, in India, New Delhi. So I was meeting with them.
Yeah.
And that CEO told me, like, he has got 2 iPhones. I was I was just asking, I couldn't manage one. How do you do with 2?
Yes.
This is my working thing. Wherever I go, I just work in my phone. I don't have any laptop or anything. I work in my mobile. I compose everything in my mobile, send it in my mobile. I don't require anything at all except my mobile. So for such people who are investing $300 million or $30 million in one transaction, on acquiring a steel mill, they have acquired a steel mill property with some. I don't know what is the capacity of that. So that's a huge mill, by the way.
I definitely
know that, because it's in, so these guys are telling, so from the top businessmen in the country, like whoever it is, they are on mobile phone. They do have their laptops, but then still they say like this mobile phone is a kind of a laptop for me when I'm on the move. Like when I'm, when my driver is driving the car, I just use my mobile phone to text everybody, speak to everybody, and then I wanted to just email everybody through using my iPhone. So that's very comfortable for me, and I'm just living with this for at least for the fullest of my time. When I'm working, I'm just working with this for at least 3/4 of my every day. So mobile device is so much important for top businessmen.
I was just going to say, David, one of my friends who is a high-level entrepreneur, when I visited her in June, she actually said that she only works from her mobile phone. She has no desktop, no laptop, just works from her mobile phone. And I'm like, wow, how do you do that? And she just showed me that there are apps for all the things that she uses, and she uses WhatsApp, email, and that's how she runs a business. And now you've actually confirmed that that's going to be like the way of the future. So from that perspective, it means that apps and mobile devices are transforming business at a whole range of levels, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Apps would, the word that you have mentioned, the apps transform businesses. Yes, definitely. Mm. Apps are transforming the businesses. And and that's why, if you see, like Google has come up with Flutter technology, Flutter, if you see the word, yeah, Flutter. So they have come up with Flutter. So a couple of years back, 3-4 years back, I believe. So to facilitate the mobile app development in a faster pace. So if you think like, you can build one code for multiple devices.
Yes.
So right now what we do is like there are different options to build a mobile app, different technologies to build, just like how web technology is there, like
because it's gonna depend on what that particular company does. If they're in e-commerce, then they need an e-commerce app. And if they're just a generalized company, then they need an app that talks about their services and enables people to purchase from a mobile phone.
So if this is like the technology are driving them, like if you use one technology right now, what we have is like if you use one tech, you can be multiple present in different mobile screens, like for example iPhone, as in you can put your app in the app store using that technology, you can put your Android app in that app play store using that technology. So like one coding and in multiple devices, you distribute in from one, you do plan and write codes in one, and then you distribute in multiple devices. That's how it's evolving. Like Google has given an option to do that as well. So they have code based system where you can develop such things. So this is all about like, that's a mobile development is also evolving. Before 5 years, like we did not have that option or the facility to build such things. But right now we have a facility because this mobile app, the top businessmen, they have kept it as a secret. Like they don't want others. They won't have their mobile apps for their business. Amazon had that, but not the smallest vendor, because they thought like this is a luxury, not a necessity.
But that's it's a necessity. Becoming a necessity from a business perspective is to be able to do that on that small little device that we all have in our lives. David, can you create an app for anything?
Yes, definitely.
Pretty much?
Like, pretty much. Like from a couple of days, like it takes a couple of days to build an app. Or maybe to a couple of weeks or to a couple of months. So it depends on the requirements of what the requirement is. Like, I mean, the CASC specialists, they are from Spain. Like those guys, the Braben, they call BrabenWhiskey.com. So those are CASC specialists. So these guys wanted to have app, and we were able to build that in 3 days time. Like because they are in a very urgent situation to get that app delivered, built. I got this last Friday, this past Friday, we have to start building that. And that from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we've been working on Saturday and Sunday as well this week for them. Mm. And then Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the app was given to them in Sunday evening. And then we have some UI, the design level systems changed. And the app is pretty much ready by now, and they are using the app. So it's like hardly 4 or 5 days to build an app with the UI design correction. So they have given the APIs and other things. So this API is a powerful thing. So you can build anything on top. So that's how we have built an app. So that is one thing for the as a display app, you can build that in 5 days.
Yes.
Or maybe if you want an e-commerce application, which requires a lot of
takes a little bit long.
Yeah. We have an e-commerce application ready-made as well, so to plug into
any. Okay. And David, they've still got to go through if it's an iOS, they've still got to go through Apple processes, and if it's an Android, they've still got to go through the Google processes as well.
They'll review everything. They'll review the application. They'll make sure that your application is clean and good, and which is doesn't have any
Working.
malicious working, and everything is okay. And then they'll approve the application. Or sometimes they ask you for a review, like go please review this particular part of the application, and then you have to make a review, do some changes to that, and maybe the policy changes or the and so on. So and then get pushed back to them, and then that's how it goes on. So
There's a
distribution
bit
is
of
like,
backwards and forwards till
yeah,
you,
it's
yeah.
yeah, it just.
That's incredible that the team can do that in such a short amount of time. But you've got a great team around you, haven't you, David?
Yeah, that's the plus. Like when it's not just the team, it's not just a team. Like you pay them and you get somebody working for you. It's about it's a family culture. So I always remind the team one thing, like this is why I'm able to travel. I'm able to be out of office for over a year now or 2 years now. Never been to the office. I just visit office for just a couple of hours a week or some maximum, and not to visiting everybody, just a couple of people, just that. On an evening after the office is over, I just go there for relaxing because I want to see like how my office is.
Good thing though, David, that you don't have to be in your office. Like all of these things that are happening across the business world at the moment, i.e., technology with its apps and platforms and programs and the ability for CEOs to travel and not necessarily be in their office but still connected to their team and their business, that's a good thing for the future, isn't it?
Definitely, because like it is like you can work from anywhere. I'm just working a few kilometers from my office today, but the last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I was working around 3,000 kilometers far from the office, and then and a couple of days before that, I was just working around 500 kilometers from the office. So it's like a lot of travel. The full part of the days and working from different offices. Like these couple of people from the client office, they want us to come there for a couple of weeks. And I have staffed a couple of people over there, and they wanted us to be there. They were in their site to be, to train their staffs. They wanted that, and I've sent three people right now, three four people right now to their office, which is in Delhi, and which is around 2,500 kilometers from the place where we live in, or maybe 2,000 miles from the place where I live in. So it's like I was just traveling all these locations, but I never been into the office. And still, the mad things happen. So it happens through Skype. It happens in Basecamp. There are different mediums like Skype, Basecamp, and these are the mediums that I use. Basecamp is the main medium that we use for project management and communication thing.
I'm
Cool.
familiar with Basecamp. It's good. David, we're almost out of time again. I can't quite believe it. For the audience listening, how can they connect with you? How can they ask you questions about all these amazing solutions that you offer for companies and businesses across the globe?
So I'm available on anything. I mean, you can, the customer clients or somebody who wanted to inquire or do a consultation with me, they can jump into the website. They can webnexus.com, which is in this background. We have put the spelling of webnexus, so they can jump in there. They can put webnexus.com. They can go to the contact page.
And
Just
connect with
that,
you.
yeah, just that. So they'll find all my mobile numbers. They'll find the email ID, so to connect with me. And anyway, I mean, I'm on all these devices: the emails, Skype, the mobile phones, everything for anybody to reach me at any time. So
And
I
David does respond. I can assure you of
and
that.
if somebody
Unless
invites
he's in the
me,
plane, of course. Unless he's in a plane traveling somewhere where he's got to be for the next day, he will respond.
maybe yesterday morning I saw your message that was like 1 hour, and the. And I just want to make sure, like, why didn't the team respond? Oh my God, that's like 30 minutes to 1 hour. I screenshotted that. I took a screenshot of that. I sent them to the team, to everybody individually. What's happening? Why didn't you message? And yeah, I want to make sure like you get the fastest response as fast as possible, because It's a part of like when you help your team, like the
Yes.
client or team, you're partnering with them. You're not delivering
Absolutely.
You're partnering.
Yeah.
I just said say this, but we are not delivering your software. We are trying to partner with you. So you don't think
to get it.
Think us as a vendor who is delivering a software. You think us as a partner who is delivering a solution, and then always feel free to touch base with us on anything like you wanted, because
I was going to say, I ask lots of questions. So via Basecamp, and what about this and what about that and how about this and how about that? And the team is very responsive, taking into account the time difference between Australia and India. I think it's important for people to understand that the Indian team is not going to be working until such and such a time, and then they'll respond instantly. So I think that that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, so it's like that's priority for us.
Yeah. David, this is the end of the show for this week. I want to thank you once again for your candor and for answering all of my questions so absolutely fully. I encourage people to jump on and connect with David. He has an amazing team, wonderful solutions, and we will be back next week with another show for you. This is Tony Lontis. You've been listening to David Bright Livingstone talking about WebNexus. Jump on and connect with David. And anywhere that you see this interview, you will find his contact information. That's our lot for this week. We will see you next week.